Good morning. Go ahead and be turning your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Merry Christmas, everybody. We serve an awesome God, and it is great to be alive. Just a couple of things very quickly. In the next 2 weeks, there will be no classes, so we'll all come in here at 10 o'clock, both adults and kids. And the first Sunday back in the new year, in 2 weeks' time, Douglas Arthur from the Boston Church of Christ will be our guest speaker. Amen? Yeah. That's going to be exciting. We have a lot of people visiting from out of town this morning. And so please, if you're visiting from out of town or outside of our congregation, can I have you guys stand up? Don't be shy. Welcome. It's great to see everybody. Also, our brother Ernst Andre got his master's degree in electrical engineering. Stand up. Congratulations. He said, "Don't make me stand up." I just did. You know, the whole world right now is thinking about the birth of Christ, and rightly so. Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. It's just a day that the world chooses and has chosen to recognize his birth. And first of all, if I can say again, last week, the actors, the singing, the music, the writing was just phenomenal. It was incredible. You know, I spoke to a lot of people after service, and they were saying, you know what? They can't remember the last time they saw a Christmas production like that. And my favorite part, believe it or not, was the beginning, where obviously it didn't start with the birth of Jesus. He went right back to Genesis chapter 1. And God and Jesus, you know, creating the world and everything, that was the highlight. Now, everything was great, all right? But it was so awesome to see that and to see the whole story from the Old Testament all the way to the birth of Christ. But you see, even as the world celebrates the birth of Christ, the question we've got to ask ourselves is, why did Jesus really come here? I don't believe Jesus came so that once a year we all, you know, put up trees and put up decorations and give each other gifts. It's got nothing to do with that. I hate to spoil the party. It's got absolutely zippo to do with that. Amen? Amen? Why did Jesus really come here? Jesus didn't come here so that, you know, once a month, once a year, we all visit family. And not to say that that's bad. That's good. But Jesus came here for several reasons. And I believe as Christians, that's what we always need to remember and focus on. You know, for me, again, I don't know how it was for you last week when you were watching the play. It was very emotional. When God told Jesus, it's time for you to go to earth. Because remember, according to scripture, he and God have always been together. Amen? Yeah. And for the first time, he was living a surrounding that he was very familiar with. And, you know, when Jesus left, he ran back to give him one last hug. You know what it's like when you leave home for the first time? It's tough. There's something called homesickness. I know a lot of college students, when they go off to college for the first time, you know, they experience it. I remember at 11 when I went to high school and I was in a boarding school and they dropped me off. I'll never forget, it was on a Saturday afternoon. Put my stuff in the dorms, said bye, and the car took off. I just started crying. I was 11 years old. I was about an hour and a half away from home. I'd never been away from my family before. I'd never been away from my friends before. And I cried for days. He said, "Mr. Richard, you cried?" "Yes, I was crying." Why? Because I was missing home. know, it dawned on me. You know, in Scripture, you see Jesus praying all the time. I believe one of the reasons why he prayed so, to me now, okay, this is not Scripture. This is my opinion. I believe one of the reasons he prayed so much, because he wanted to be connected back to the Father. That's my conviction. But you see, why did Jesus come? Is what I want us to talk about this morning. As we think about Christmas. I believe he came to do four things very quickly. Number one, to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19, a passage we are very familiar with. But I want us to read again. You know the story? The Bible tells us that he was passing through Jericho. This short man named Zacchaeus wanted to take a look at him. He couldn't, so he ran up and climbed a tree. When Jesus got to the tree, he looked up and said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I'm going to stay at your house tonight. And that's where we're going to pick up reading. Luke chapter 19 in verse 5. Are you guys with me? When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to the guests of a sinner. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. In the beginning of the story, we're told that Jesus was simply passing through Jericho. In other words, he was on his way somewhere. He wasn't planning on staying. I mean, think about it. Of all the people in that town that day, he stops for Zacchaeus. Why? Because he came to bring salvation to Zacchaeus' house on that very day. Are you with me? Now, Jesus was a very busy man. Extremely busy. Constantly moving. But notice what happens here. Despite the fact that he was on his way somewhere else, he stopped to help this guy come to faith. Are you with me? That's what it's all about. For us today, we live in a very busy world. We're so busy running around, especially this time of year. I don't like this time of year, I'm going to be honest with you. The shops are packed. I like him just going, buy something, and boom, boom, thank you, and I'm out. Now you got to stand in line. There's 10, 15 people in front of you. I don't like this time of year. And like a lot of us, I left it in the last minute. I still got to go back to the store today and tomorrow. But you see, despite all the business, we got to take the time to stop and to remember what's most important. And that is helping people come to a knowledge of Jesus. That we're not so busy, quote unquote, doing the Christmas thing. And we don't make the time to stop, to pause, and to help lost people get saved. Amen? Amen? We can't be going from appointment to appointment to appointment to appointment. That's not what life is about. Now or any time during the year. Jesus came so that people can get saved. Jesus came so that you and I could get saved. Amen? And now that we are saved, as his disciples, he said, you know what? Now you go make disciples. You go help other people. It's got to be constantly on our minds. Amen? And so I want to encourage you, even during this Christmas season, as family comes in, and as you go visit family or friends, open up the Bible with them. Amen? Don't say, you know, I like to study the Bible with you. Don't do that. You're giving them an out. You know the question I ask? You got a minute? That's it. You got a minute? Yes, I do. I want to show you something. And boom, you open up the scriptures. Let's read it. Let's talk about it. Because this is why he came. This is one of the reasons why he came. Amen? Again, you know how it is? You've left home. You can't wait to get back. I was counting the days when I got dropped off in boarding school for the next time I got to go home. It couldn't come soon enough. You know that feeling when you get a chance to go back home? I believe Jesus felt the same way. As he knew that his time on this earth was coming to an end. And obviously on the cross he was able to say, it is finished. In other words, mission accomplished. And he gets to go back to go be with his Father. What an exciting time. Amen? And that's what you and I have a chance to look forward to. But you see, there are a lot of false teachers out there. You know it and I know it. All under the banner of Christianity. All under the banner of calling on the name of Jesus. We have a lot of work to do, brothers and sisters. What people believe really matters. At first glance, there was nothing unusual about Evergreen Cemetery in Oakland, California. There were the expected rows upon rows of grave markers, some with flowers, others with small American flags. I meandered through the property and soon came upon a gently sloping hillside. And there, standing over a wide expanse of grass, was a solitary 3-foot headstone. Its stunning inscription read, "In memory of the victims of the Jonestown tragedy." Beneath the ground were the remains of more than 400 Californians who had followed the serene call of self-proclaimed Messiah Jim Jones down to the jungles of South America to build a paradise of racial equality and harmony. Believing his creed of love and equal opportunity, beguiled by his charisma and eloquence, they put their complete faith in this magnetic visionary. His audacious boast, he was the reincarnation of Christ, the real Jesus. The pilgrims, intent on living out Jones' doctrine of peace and tolerance, arrived in a remote rainforest of Guyana, only to realize over time that it was building a hellish enclave of repression and violence. When a visiting U.S. congressman and a contingent of journalists threatened him with exposure, Jones ordered them ambushed and killed before they could leave on a private plane. Then Jones issued his now infamous command. All of his followers must drink cyanide-laced punch. Syringes were used to squirt the poison into the mouths of infants. Those who refused were shot. Soon, more than 900 men, women, and children died under the scorching sun. And Jones ended his own life with a bullet to his head. The bodies of 409 victims, more than half of them babies and children, were shipped back to California in unadorned wooden caskets and buried at Evergreen Cemetery. In the nearly 30 years since the Jonestown tragedy, few people come to visit. On this day, I stood in silence and reverence. As I shook my head at this senseless loss, one thought coursed through my mind. Beliefs have very real consequences. These victims believed in Jones. They subscribed to his vision. His dogma became their own. But ultimately, the truth is this. Faith is only as good as the one in whom it's invested. Brothers and sisters, we have so much work to do. There are so many people today parading themselves as pastors and ministers of the gospel. And they're some of the richest people on the face of this earth. Telling people what they need to hear and they want to hear. And never talking about sin, never talking about redemption, never talking about judgment. Calling people to come forward and pray just into their heart when that is nowhere in the Bible. It goes on every day. And the question I've always asked us, and I will continue to ask us, in Gwinnett County, what are we going to do about it? Do you see people on their way to the mall and shopping? Or do you see the lost that need to get saved? I pray that as Christians, we don't get sidetracked by all this stuff. Amen? Amen. The second reason Jesus came, very quickly, is to serve and not to be served. Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Again, you know the story? The mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus and says, you know what? I'd like for my sons to sit on your right and on your left in the next life. Jesus basically said, you don't know what you're talking about. And we'll pick it up in Matthew chapter 20, in verse 24. When the ten heard this, they were indignant with the two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Notice what Jesus says here. He says, do you want to be great? I think that's a great question. There's nothing wrong in wanting to be great. He says, if you want to be great though, you must become a servant. He didn't say you should. He says you must. The way to the top is via the bottom. And the question we've got to ask ourselves is, Jesus said, I came not to be served, but to serve. Are you a servant? Am I a servant in the true sense of the word? We want to be great? The Bible says, the only way it's going to happen is by you and I becoming servants. In other words, you put the needs of other people above yourself. You see the needs of other people before yours. You know, we live in a me society, like Todd was talking about this morning in the communion. It's always about me. Help me. Feed me. Take care of me. And it's amazing, if we're not careful, we turn the church into that. I've heard people say, you know what? Oh, my needs are not being met. Excuse me? What do you mean your needs? How about the needs of other people? It's about being a servant. It's about taking care of other people. The world does not revolve around you. It never has and it never will. This one really bugs me. I hear people even in our city sometimes they go, I'm gonna go over here because you know what, you know, my needs are not being met here, so I'm gonna go over here. Like, they don't get it. They never have. My question is, what Bible are they reading? When did church become about you? When? It's about serving others. Just like Jesus did. The happiest people I know are people that are constantly serving. Look around you. When you see people serving, those are some of the most joyful and happy people you will ever meet. Selfishness is not good. It's terrible. If you're a selfish person, you're a miserable person, if you want to be honest with yourself. I'm talking about picking up the phone, calling people up, asking how they're doing. You hear somebody get sick, call them up, go by, go do something. That is always about others. That's the way Jesus was. That's what you and I are meant to be imitating. You know, this six-year-old was talking to her dad and he said, what is marriage? Could you explain that to me? And the dad goes, grabs their wedding album, sits the six-year-old down on his lap, and he's trying to explain, to his little daughter, okay, your mom and I got married, and we made vows, then we had a reception, we went on our honeymoon, and mom and I, we said we're going to be together for life and everything. And the six-year-old paused and said, oh, is that when mommy came to start working for us? Because the woman was always doing everything around the house. The husband never lifted a finger. The kids were not doing anything. You see, it's all about serving each other. At home, at work, in the church, wherever. Amen? It's not about me. You know the passage, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. It talks about how we need to consider others better than ourselves. That's what Jesus did in coming down to this earth. And as a result of that, the Bible tells us that God exalted him. That at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? Amen? Jesus came to serve and not to be served. Are you a servant this morning? As we're thinking about Christmas. Number three. We talked about this a few months ago. Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. 1 John chapter 3. Why did Jesus come? He came to destroy the devil's work. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 verse 8. It says, he who does what is sinful is of the devil. Because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. Amen? Oh, I like that. I think we need to read it again. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. I mean, this world has been a mess since Genesis chapter 3. We're still in a mess. And scripture teaches very clearly that Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. The devil obviously wanted to take all of mankind to hell with him. Hell was not created for us. The Bible says hell was created for the devil and his angels in Matthew. Are you with me? And so Jesus came. He came down, like these guys were depicting last week, to buy us back. To redeem us from this empty way of life. And to me, that's exciting. That's what salvation is all about. Now, you know what? When our time on this earth is done, as children of God, and as men and women who have repented and have gotten baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, we're going to spend eternity with God. That's what it's all about. Amen? And you and I should never take that for granted. Because one day you are not going to be on this earth. One day you're going to leave home and you're not going to make it back. Some people believe that, you know, the world was going to end a couple of days ago. We're still here. You know, a teenager said this to me the other day as we were talking about this, you know, as December 21st came. He says, you know what? People are really foolish trying to predict the end of the world. First of all, the Bible obviously tells us that no one knows the day or the hour. And yet these guys feel they're so smart, they figured it out. That's stupidity in my book. But anyway, you know, the teenager said to me, how can man figure out when the world is going to end, when they did not create the world? And I thought, that's very insightful. I am going to say that in my sermon. It makes sense. How can we predict the end of the world when we didn't create this world? Duh. But you see, Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. This world is messed up. And to me, the annoying thing is God gets blamed for all the bad stuff. I mean, look at that horrible massacre last week in Newtown, Connecticut. I went to school 30 minutes away from that place. My first 5 years in America, I spent in Bridgeport, Connecticut. I remember turning on the news that morning. And seeing that there had been a shooting, and at that point they said, 2 to 3 people wounded. And I had to go out, run an errand, came back, turned the TV back on to find out what was going on. And at that point, you know, they said, 20 kids. And I remember holding my head and just screaming. I couldn't believe it. Guys, this country's messed up. You know, I don't understand this. When somebody is so messed up in their lives, and don't get me wrong, they need help. But if you want to take your own life, just take your own life. Why do you have to take other people with you? But the annoying thing is God gets blamed for all this stuff. And then people want to talk about, oh yeah, I got the right to bear arms and all these different things. You know what? Don't even go there. If you want to ask me personally, I will tell you what I think. You're telling me when the founding fathers wrote the Second Amendment, they were thinking about some of these machine guns that are now on the streets? You can't convince me otherwise. The guns back then were this kind, you pour the gunpowder in, you grab this thing, and you push the stuff down, and you take it, and then you go, and then you do it again. But, brothers and sisters, it's not about guns. It's about the evil in this world. And you and I, as Christians, can do something about it. And I mean, this is the environment we have to raise our kids in. And our grandkids. I can't even start imagining what life is going to be like 100 years from now. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. It's going from bad to worse. But see, Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. And we've got to be about it. Amen? That's what it's all about. Because there's going to be a day of reckoning. Everybody's going to give an account for everything they did on this earth. Nobody's going to get away with anything. That's my only consolation. There's going to be judgment day. Amen? And everybody's going to get what is coming to them. Each man is going to be judged according to what they've done. Not according to what your spouse did or your children or somebody else. Mm-mm. You. Me. One-on-one before God. That's the way it's going to be. You know, in light of what happened last week, you know, people have been asking all kinds of questions. Well, why would God allow this kind of stuff to happen? There is no God. Of course there is a God. But like I said, when there's evil, God gets blamed. It's funny, when there's good, he never gets the credit. See, why would a loving God allow this kind of stuff to happen? Because there's evil in the world. You know, I saw this, somebody sent me this, and I want to show it to you. And I preface this by saying, I do not watch Fox News, okay? I don't. I know some of you do. That's okay. Okay? We have different tastes. But Mike Huckabee, he used to be the governor of Arkansas, commenting about what happened last week. I want you to listen to this. He was spot on. Well, you see, the question is, as Christians, what are we going to do about this? How are we going to help change this world? How are we going to help change the conversation? Because the devil has been working since Genesis chapter 3, like I talked about, and it's not going to stop. You know? And we can't keep going like this. And it's not just America. Okay? Every country's got its own problems. But the good news is, Jesus came to destroy the devil's work. Amen? We've got the answers. We can reverse this tide. We can change what's going on. We have the power to do it. Amen? And finally, number 4, Jesus came to show us the Father. John chapter 14. Jesus came to show us the Father. John chapter 14. In John chapter 14, beginning in verse 7. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him, and I've seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'?" And then the story goes on. Jesus was basically saying here, you know what, to the apostles, seeing him was seeing God. In other words, the creator, the being that created this world out of nothing, if you put him in human form, he would have looked and lived and acted and walked and talked like Jesus. Because the Bible says no one has ever seen God except him who came from God. Amen? Again, this is a freebie. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. When people pass on, we say, "Oh, they've gone on to be with God." Technically, you are not correct. They've gone on to paradise. Are you with me? Now, one day, everybody's going to rise. And then we will stand before God. Amen? Amen. Jesus came to show us the Father. And that's why he was perfect. That's why he was sinless. Was he tempted? Yes. But the Bible says he was without sin. But he came to show us the Father. He came to show us the way back to God. He came to show us what God looks like. The question we got to ask ourselves is, as God's children, do we look like Jesus? You know, when a baby is born and the relatives come in, what's the first thing they do? "Ooh, she is so cute. She looks like his mama." And the daddy said, "No, she looks like me." He said, "No, she doesn't look like you. She looks like the mama." But it's always amazing how, you know, kids usually, you know, one minute they're looking like the mom, and at another point they're looking like the dad, and then they look like the mom again, and until, you know, they grow up. Every time I pick up a new baby, you know, I'm looking at them like this. Ah. She looks like her. I was holding Derek and Gurgi's baby earlier this week at a party, and I went to take her, and she turns her shoulder. I said, "Oh no, you hear my voice every Sunday. You know who I am." And I turned around. I said, "Hello, you little bitch, how you doing?" And I took her, and at that point, that was it. And I was looking at her. Boy, she looks like Gurgi. Yeah. Then he said, "No, she looks like me." I said, "She doesn't look like you, bro. You are not this good looking." I didn't say that to him. I thought it, but I didn't say it out. But I was looking for a resemblance. I'm always looking for a resemblance when I see kids. And some kids, I mean, you see them, you can say, "Oh, wait a second, I know whose kid that is." Because they're a spitting image of their mom or dad. Okay? You go and check it out when you get home. You're going home for Christmas? Ask your mom or dad for their baby pictures. You're going to say, "Wait a second, that looks exactly like me." But you see, because you resemble your dad. You resemble your mom. Are you with me? Jesus came to show us the Father. We need to resemble Jesus. Amen. People need to see us and see Christ. In the way we act, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we live our lives, the kind of things we say. Amen? Amen? We need to reflect Jesus. You know, earlier this week, actually not earlier, it was Thursday afternoon, I got into a car accident. My first one ever in my life. I've never been in an accident before. And I was hoping to leave this earth without having to be in one, but Thursday, that changed. And obviously, I'm fine. Thank God, I'm okay. Chris and Rolaya were in the car with me from Lagos. It was pouring rain. But God is, I have to tell you, God is an amazing God. I was driving on Five Forks Trickham towards Sugarloaf. And something in my spirit said, "Slow down. Keep some distance between you and the car in front of you." And I took my leg off the gas ever so slightly, and we just kept on driving. The accident happened 2 minutes later. There was an accident up front, and the lady in front of me slammed on her brakes, and so I slammed on mine. The car just kept on skidding, and just bam! Total loss. I came out and saw the guy and said, this is a complete write-off. I've never been in an accident before in my life. I got to tell you, man, it was startling. It's like, man, this is what this feels like? It was horrible. Had to get a tow truck. Obviously, the cops were there and all that stuff. And, you know, get the car towed and go get a rental car. And I didn't get home until 9 p.m. that night. I just went into my bed. I was crying. I was praying. I was thanking God. And everybody kept on telling me, any accident you're going to walk away from, you need to be thanking the Lord. I was like, man, now I'm going to go get a car note. Bro, you're thinking about a car note? You need to be thanking God that you're okay. Amen. You see, I share that to say, we've all experienced different things this year, but you're still here. I'm still standing. God is still on the throne. That no matter it is what we do, we need to reflect God. That God is always watching over us and taking care of us. And will meet us at our point of needs every single time. And so even as we're preparing for the Christmas holidays and being with family, please take the time to thank God for seeing you everything. Seeing through everything he's seen you through this year, you and I. A lot of us have loved loved ones this year. And it's going to be tough. Because this is going to be your first Christmas without that person in the house. Thank God for their lives. Thank God for allowing you to know them and to have that time with them while they were still here. And I say all that to say, you know, we have so much to be thankful for. But Jesus came into this earth to seek and to save the lost, to serve and not to be served, to destroy the devil's work, and to show us the Father. And I pray that as Christians in Gwinnett County, in the 21st century, you and I will reflect the glory of God every single day. Merry Christmas and God bless.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the service. Thank you for that message we just received. Father, thank you for everything you do in our lives. As we go through this day, as we go through the rest of our week, Father, as we look at Christmas and just look, Father, I pray that we think about you. I pray that we remember exactly what this is all about. I pray, just like Richard said, that we, our lives reflect Jesus himself. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity just to be able to listen to a message like that, to be able to be able to have Richard express his feelings, express exactly what God has showed him in his day-to-day. It's absolutely incredible. Father, thank you so much for just the experience of being here, Father, and being able to thank you each and every day in our lives. Father, I pray these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.